to get in. Well, I wasn't.
How's
allowed.
Your mathematics now?
But what I would say is that's one of those races that you'd watch, like the Lonro one, like we were saying before. You can watch that race 1,000 times. You know exactly what's going to happen. You know when that horse is going to take the run. But you still get that shiver down your spine. Yeah. You just go, wow. One of those moments will just be etched in history.
Great call, Jared. Appreciate that, mate. In fact, we're going to put a bit of an asterisk next to your name there with Belle du Jour. We've got, of course, the Wingman beer and the Winx book to give away to the best call of the contribution off the canvas today. 1353. This comes in from Donkey. Guys, it shall forever be known as Tragic Round by Parramatta fans. Yes, that is a very good point. Stick around because our legend of the game is coming up next. His name is Kevin Junee, an absolute legend of the Roosters and the Manly Seagulls.
I'm Sean Bindley. Pakistani officials say security forces have engaged in a gunfight with assailants who've stormed a 5-star hotel in the city of Gwadar. The BBC's Jill McGivering has more.
The security forces are battling to regain control of the Pearl Continental Hotel in the port city of Gwadar. Guests have been evacuated, but the army says a security guard was shot dead. A militant separatist group, the Balochistan Liberation Army, says it carried out the attack to target Chinese and other foreign investors. China is funding the development of Gwadar Port as part of its ambitious Belt and Road project. The scheme is opposed by the separatists, who see little benefit for local people.
North Queensland-based Herbert is Australia's most marginal federal electorate, covers a large part of Townsville, and was won by Labor by just 37 votes at the last election. It's a must-win if Labor wants to form government. Air News' Shannon Morris speaks to two of its candidates.
Both Herbert MP Cathy O'Toole and local businessman United Australia Party's Greg Dowling told Air News that jobs to propose the Darney Carmichael Mine and the Great Barrier Reef are the biggest drivers for Townsville's future. Miss O'Toole says she'll always stand up for the city.
I have signed the pledge that was put in front of me to open up the Galilee Basin, and I have done that because the people of this city need jobs.
Mr Dowling says voters want a change.
Yeah, they built a stadium out there, but that could have gone to dams, trying to reduce our energy bills, all of that. Maybe we might have had the flood.
Shannon Morris, Air News.
A 3.5-metre tiger shark caught off Sydney was among dozens of sharks intercepted in a trial of high-tech drumlines off New South Wales in recent months. The huge shark was snagged in the Palm Beach Newport area during the recently completed 90-day trial, while a 2.5-metre tiger shark was caught around DY Manly. 14 sharks were caught in trials of the smart drumlines off Sydney beaches, while elsewhere more than 40 sharks were snagged on the New South Wales south and north coasts and at Newcastle, according to data released by Agricultural Minister Adam Marshall today. The satellite-linked drumlines were set near existing shark nets and alerted boat crews who tagged and released sharks when they were caught. US President Donald Trump is filing a subpoena to obtain his tax records from the Internal Revenue Service. While the president claims he remains under audit, the law says the documents must be turned over. NU's US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
Following the astonishing revelation that Donald Trump lost over $1 billion U.S. in his business ventures in the late 1980s and early 1990s, he's continuing to fight calls to publish his more recent tax returns. President Trump claims voters don't care about his taxes and elected him anyway. Others point out this resistance fails to answer questions about who is funding his business ventures when the published evidence points to failure. With the law already flatly stating the IRS tax documents shall be turned over to congressional committees, the panel subpoena gives the President and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin 1 week to comply. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
This is Air News. Firstly to AFL, and star West Coast defender Jeremy McGovern is in match review trouble for a collision that flattened St Kilda opponent Blake Akers. McGovern bumped Akers well off the ball in the first half of last night's win at Marvel Stadium. Akers was able to play out the game, but the match review's Michael Christian is sure to look at the incident. The Eagles had a workmanlike 3-goal win over St Kilda as they search for their best form. Football and the Melbourne Victory face Sydney FC away at Nestrata Jubilee Stadium today for a place in next Sunday's grand final in Perth against the Glory. And any way you dissect the contest, the teams are incredibly well matched. Historically, both sides have won 16 matches of the 49 played. This season, Sydney FC pipped the Victory by 2 points on the table. If Milos Ninkovic hadn't found a 93rd-minute winner in their most recent meeting, it would be Victory hosting this match. Both have seasoned defenders, hard-working midfielders and attacks laden with international quality.
And in cricket, Sunil Ambrose's maiden one-day international century has helped the West Indies to a five-wicket win over Ireland at Malahide. Ambrose hit 19 fours and a six in his 126-ball 148, as Ireland's challenging five for 327 was overhauled with 13 balls to spare. Australian Independent Radio News.
Great value stallions and attractive all-inclusive breeding packages are the feature of Coringle Stud in 2019. Coringle is delighted to offer multiple Group 1 producer Magic Albert, who has close to 70% winners to runners and progeny earnings of more than $48 million. Magic Albert stands alongside exciting stallion prospect Prized Icon and Group 1 sire Dewforce, as well as the Brothers War. For more information, contact Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875.
Customers love our coffee, but we just can't keep up with the morning rush. I need more hands on deck.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you hire more employees, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Cruise your own adventure with Royal Caribbean and you'll save up to 50% off kids and up to 30% off adults. Book now at royalcaribbean.com.au or your local travel advisor. T's and C's apply. In Tarramurra, still got a bus broken down affecting northbound traffic on the Pacific Highway at Duff Street. There is a mechanic trying to get it going. In the city, various roads are closed around the CBD, Botanic Gardens and Domain for the Mother's Day Fun Run events that are on. And in Helston Park, we've got changed traffic conditions on Canterbury Road at New Canterbury Road. At Myer, you'll find all your home comforts for winter. Shop and save 50% off selected mattresses and ensembles by Sealy. Exclusions and conditions apply. Don't miss out. Shop Myer today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
It is a cracker today in beautiful Sydney town. Sunny, not a cloud in the sky, 21 degrees. If you are going to the beach this Arvo, though, just keep an eye on the surf conditions. There's a bit of a warning out for powerful surf, Jimmy. Parks, what's doing?
Partly cloudy today at Parks. Big shout out to my mate Wilbur at Parks Mensland and the spaceman out there. 17 degrees, the maximum temperature. Queanbeyan as well, they're running there today. Early fog, mostly sunny. Maximum temperature of 17 degrees. It's the final hour. We'll have our second China Doll question very shortly. But up shortly is our legend of the game, Kevin Junee. Leanne West will give us a sports update. We'll have to talk football with Phil Moss. In saying that, I know I get a little bit sheepish about Liverpool Football Club and all that sort of stuff. Amazing win during the course.
Incredible.
Of the week. Tottenham, something similar.
Robbie Slater.
Yes,
And
Liverpool fan.
And Liverpool fan. I think Phil to a degree as well. But Robbie, I definitely know, said it was probably their greatest win ever. And he even put that in front of their Champions League. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that just the way in which they had to perform against a red-hot Barcelona team.
Yeah, that's right. It was Barcelona.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's just to do what they did in the fashion they did.
Yeah.
It was just extraordinary.
So we'll speak to Mossy about that. And Dean Bulldog Richard with all the latest in the world of rugby league. Our talk topic today has been inspired by the Liverpool Football Club and Tottenham, and that is off the canvas, 1353-53, your chance to win the Wingman beer or the Winx book. We've had Peter from Matcham who's texted in and said Mount Eden in the Miracle Mile.
Yeah.
Now, this is, again, where Ray comes into his own, but...
1971, it was. No, 1971.
Go on, could you give a response to Peter from Matcham?
Yeah, I remember that. Mount Eden. No, very, very good. The vision, if you're wanting to see that vision on, just head to YouTube. It's the black and white and misses it and just towels them. In the end, it was extraordinary.
So
and it's funny, when I first started working here at Sky,
yes.
I remember meeting Tappy.
Yes.
And we were talking harness racing and
legend.
Whatnot before one of his in the gig, and he said, yeah, Mount Eden, go and watch that race. It's a pearler.
It certainly is. 1353-53 is the open line number. Just before we get to Kevin Juni, our second question in the China Doll long-time listener quiz, and that is, name one of Shani Berry's donkeys. No, I know Tommy couldn't, but if you want to be a chance to win, name one of Shani Berry's donkeys that she brought home earlier this week. Do not call now. Wait till your third question.
That's what, if you are on social media, I'd give Shani and Tommy a follow. They've got beautiful children. He's got a big property, and on the property, they just seem to buy animals everywhere they go.
Yes,
there's,
right.
There's just the donkeys have come home, and I think he's got a big paddock out the back, and the kids love it. And I tell you what, not saying them the kids will be jockeys, the young ones, but gee, they'll be in the game. You can tell they've got the bug already.
So you're just saying follow them on social media because they've got beautiful kids. So for all the other people who don't have beautiful kids, don't follow them.
You know,
is that what
I'm,
you're saying?
No, I haven't said that at all, James. See, I actually feel for Ray sometimes on this show. See, I've just tried to give a positive, you know, outcome, and I've said, you know, follow.
You said follow them because they've got beautiful kids.
They've got industry participants.
Mm.
They're very good on social media.
Yes.
And you've just morphed it into something, you know.
That wasn't there initially.
I feel sorry for you, Ray. Hope you're enjoying your day off, mate.
Up now, it's time to talk to our legend of the game and what a star he was for the Roosters and for Manly back in the 1960s and the 1970s. A kangaroo tourist, a Rothmans medalist in 1970, and an all-round good bloke. Saw him the other day and thought it was a chance for us to get him on this program. So great to have Kevin Juni join the program. G'day, Kev.
Good morning, Jimmy. Hi, Dave.
G'day, Kev. How are you, mate?
Look, really appreciate you joining us on the program, Kev. We ask this of all our legends. How did rugby league become a part of your life?
Jim, I think it started when I was at school. I went to a little public school in Paddington Public School, and some great footballers and sportsmen came out of that little school. Jimmy Carruthers, the world champion boxer. The Thornett brothers, the great Thornett brothers. I think they represented Australian rugby and water polo.
Yes.
Going back a bit, and I was only listening to the intro or comments before I came on, and somebody hesitated when they mentioned 1971 and black and white. I'm going back even further. Wow, see how time flies when you're having fun. But yes, and Paddington Public School, and I was introduced to the game, I guess, by a gentleman by the name of Ray Norman. He was an Australian 5'8", I later found out, and he brought about 20 footballs to the school, and he taught us all the fundamentals of the game, and that was the start of it. And But I loved it from day one.
Yeah.
You know, I played junior football with the Paddington Colts. Then I for one or two games, I think. And then I went to Bondi United, a great junior club.
Yes.
And I got called up to grade from Bondi United, and it all sort of rolled on from there. And that was. I think it started around 62. Then I went back to juniors and then in 63 and came back again in the grade at the end of 63. And 64, I hit lucky enough to play first grade.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Kevin, What was it like? You went through that journey of the school and all the different junior programs, etc., and then to put that jersey on to play in 64. Did you think beforehand, yep, this is going to happen, or did it just happen and then you now look back and go, well, I was blessed. How good's this?
Well, I guess it all comes from a passion. And look, I was just a young fellow playing in the, I guess, in the laneways of Paddington Streets, you know, and that was the way it was in those times as a teenager. And I used to sort of see this young fellow jog by the end of the lane down Elizabeth Street, and wearing an Eastern Suburbs jumper, and I fell in love with the jumper. But I think the passion of playing any sport, sort of, you live in hope. You just keep on doing what you do, and one day hopefully it comes your way.
Mm. You had enormous success as a player, Kev, in different teams, as an individual as well. But what about the tough years at the Roosters, 1964 to 1966, your early years there? I think they won five games in 3 years. How much did that test your mettle?
Well, you know, I think we were all young fellas at that time, and I think the 66 team, we had a lot of juniors coming through. I think half the team are more than juniors. And but the people, the fans loved us. I can remember not winning a game, but every game we started, we went out to win. And we had fans there at the Sydney Sports Ground, which used to occupy where the Sydney Football Stadium is now being pulled down. But it was a great period, because the people being juniors, half the crowd were related to the players on the field, I think. It was just a desire. And you played for your district. You had to be born in the district to play for your club. So that tribal aspect was there, evident right in the early days. But, interesting time. But remember, it was the old rule. It was the unlimited tackle rule.
Yes,
and it was pretty tough going. We held our own till about half time, and the crowd stayed till half time. But halfway through the second half, the crowd started to diminish. But they turned up next week, and they lived in hope with us. They're on our journey.
I've got to ask about 1970, Kev. This is the Rothmans Medal. So, what's the story here? Now, Jimmy was filling me in. You've won the medal, but you didn't get a Guernsey at the event.
No. It's look. I think in the early days of all of this competition, I think I can only fathom that the head office used to ask the club officials, to nominate players they thought would win the medal.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that all the officials didn't nominate any of that. It didn't nominate any of the Eastern Suburbs players, and they all turned up around the dinner table to have a good night out for themselves. I got, in actual fact, I was just recently married, but I've been married and sort of living in a family with a flat at Paddington, and a knock comes on the door, and Dad received a phone call, and he told me that I've been requested to go catch a cab and go into town at Phillip Street. And by the way, he said, you can wear this bow tie. So I was living in hope. I still didn't know. Arrived at Phillip Street, and they took me upstairs to a private room. And they always promoted the integrity of that these votes were not opened. And were opened on the night.
Yes.
And they took me to the room where these three people were opening the envelopes, and they were having their private function there also. And I sat down, and I forget who was in that room, but it was it was true they were opening on the night. Anyhow, it's then I went downstairs, and they announced the winner, and I was lucky enough to be amongst it. And won by 1 point, I think.
Well, that's a win's a win when it comes to the Rothmans Medal, Kev. Outstanding.
Well, it was a lovely honour, and it was all overwhelming at the time. But it's You know, it's, a lot of people ask me what was it like, and I said, well, what is it like? And I said, well, it's supposedly like the Daily M these days, you know, but it was a little bit of the competition wasn't as wide back then as it is today, of course.
Yeah. Hey, Kev, I wanted to ask you, 1972, the Roosters lose the grand final to Manly. They win it the following year, the Seagulls, and you thought, right, well, I better get with the strength. And you went across to Manly in 74-75, so your little mate Johnny Mays come back. He'd won the competition with Manly in 73. He had to come back to the Roosters, and he just found himself, it was a very important part of a really hot side that win the comp 74-75. So you missed out on winning a competition. When you look back on it now, what's your take on the way that played out for your career?
Oh, look, I think you don't have any control over this. Mm. To some degree, you can make decisions according to the environment. But basically, Johnny Mays, and we are great mates, and we've had a lot of beers and discussions over it, and I tell him he tells me he got the money, and I tell him I got the looks. So I don't know who wins. But Johnny was my understudy. He was a Bondi United boy also.
Yeah.
And he was about 3 to 4 years behind me. So I became established, I guess, as in the first grade side. And but in 72, where the Roosters played the grand final, but I had a shocking year that year. My ego was sort of pushed around a bit because I had an early season operation on my foot, and the coach said, well, look, that was in January, and he said, look, get it done, and I had a nerve cut because the nerve was causing too much pain, and basically he said, well, you'll be right. So I took that as saying, well, when I come back and I'm fit, I'll be right to go back to the first grade. But in the meantime, the team was winning and Johnny Mays was playing fantastic football. And yeah. My nose was out of joint. But it came to the end of it towards the second half. And I've been playing second grade. And I looked in the mirror and said, there's only one person can change this. And that was me. And so I got out and started to play I pushed the ego to the side and got out there and produced the football that I was capable of. And it came to the grand final team. And the coach had to make a decision on Johnny, between Johnny and myself. And he picked me. And Johnny has told me over time that yes, he felt the pressure, and but that was the only way I could. I had to make the change, and I was lucky enough that everybody got behind me and put pressure on the coach and said that we need Junior in the side. And but that was my one and only first grade game for the year.
Yeah, wow.
Johnny came to me and said, he went over to. Manly knew that John would be disappointed, so John and they tapped him on the shoulder, and John joined Manly in 73, and he won a competition in 74. So at the end of 73, I had a sports store at Bondi Junction, and Saturday morning, back in the good old days, we could only work till midday and close the door at midday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to work, bought the Telegraph paper, and walked to the shop and opened the door and went in and front page, read the front page and turned the back page. Now, this is Christmas week in 73, getting ready for the 74 season. Headlines, back page, John May signs with East. I said, what? my contract was up, but I hadn't heard anything.
Yeah, right.
And basically, I got hit between the eyes, and all of a sudden, wow, why is this guy coming back? He's left because of disappointment. He's won a premiership, and he's coming back to East to do battle with me again. He must be coming back, I thought, at the time, with a few guarantees. You know, so he was first choice. That was the way I read it. And lucky for Johnny, he wins a premiership with East, 74 and 75.
Yeah.
I was disappointed, most definitely. But you've got to get on. You've got to push that aside, you know. And I would have loved, I was lucky enough to have played a grand final. And I think that I say that sincerely. I mean, if anybody can reach and play in a grand final, it's an experience in itself.
Yeah.
So I got, you know, I got that far, I guess. Mm. But I don't have any sour grapes, far from it. You know, disappointments, yes, but not sour grapes.
Kevin, got to ask you, who's the best player you ever played with / against?
Well, I... It's a difficult question. I played with some of the greats of the game, you know, from I remember when I played in a state game against Northern Queensland. They put me at the 5'8", and I hadn't played 5'8" for years. I was really, really only a halfback, and because I had speed, I caught the ball and drifted wide, and who should come off my shoulder was Reg Gasnier. And I've sent, you know, I was credited with sending him over for 3 tries that night, but I don't know how I did it. I thought it was the great, you know, I played against the great St. George players at the time. They were coming to a close, you know, there's Popper, Clay, Gasnier, Langland, you know, Johnny King. You know, Ron Cook stands out. He was the start of the wide running forwards or the modern day forwards. And I could keep going on. I said Johnny Peard, you know, I always, not that I played with every 5'8", but I always thought Johnny Peard was one of the best 5'8s going around. And he was a local junior who played for Bondi, came out of the Bondi United Club. Look, we could go on. We need a few more minutes than what we have here. But one of the greatest memories is if I may take the privilege here, was playing in the 67 side. You know, we didn't win a game in 66.
Yes.
They introduced a 4-tackle rule in 67, and we made the same team made the grand final, made the semi-finals.
Yeah.
And that was a real Cinderella magic carpet ride for us, and that was an experience I'll never forget. And I've told the story that when we actually played on the Sydney Cricket Ground, which was the honour of playing the most important game in that round, and we played Canterbury. I just forget the score, but we won. And the Paddington Hill, as it was known then, to the left of the M&A Noble Stand, it was all our school mates and junior playing mates. As we were running off the field, I said to Jim Matthews, our captain, I said, Jim, why don't we go over to the Paddo Hill and acknowledge them? And he said, okay. So he took us over there and... He turned to me and he said, "What do we do now?" I said, "I don't know. Just wave." And I attribute that to as starting the modern thing that the players do. You know, we were one of the first teams to have done that, and there was a wonderful experience. Wonderful experience.
Yeah. Hey, Kev. Speaking of running out of minutes, we've got commercial considerations we have to meet here. It's been our privilege to hear you take a trip down memory lane. I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed it. I know Dave and I have, and great to hear from you again, and great to see you the other day as well. Mate, thanks for being our legend of the game today.
Yeah, my pleasure, and thanks, guys.
Cheers, mate.
There he is, Kevin Juney, the original Whippet, and a real gentleman as well. So great to have him on the program. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week.
Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just... the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio app on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio app, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Satisfaction. There's payday satisfaction.
Yes.
Perfect lawn satisfaction.
Yes.
Hole-in-one satisfaction.
Yes.
Then there's getting an Amarok V6 Auto starting from $49,990 drive away with a 5-year unlimited kilometre warranty satisfaction. Plus, for a limited time across all Amarok V6 models, 3 years free scheduled servicing. Get some end of financial year satisfaction at Volkswagen today. Conditions and exclusions apply. Visit volkswagen.com.au.
The China Doll is the award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo. It takes creative dining, David, in Sydney to another level. It offers an innovative menu, impressive cocktail list, personalised service and spectacular views of the Sydney skyline. And, of course, the chilli salt squid, the king prawns are out of this world.
Oh.
It's the pork that is the outstanding dish, in my opinion.
In your opinion?
Yes. Dine where the racing industry dines, all under the expert eye of restaurateur Steve Anastasio. For bookings, call 02-938-06744 or visit the website chinadoll.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, a sports update with Liam West.
We'll go with NRL first up, and Magic Round was anything but for Parramatta. Their coach, Brad Arthur, not pulling any punches after last night's painful 54-point loss to the Melbourne Storm. Arthur says the Eels were soft as they were embarrassed, 64 points to 10, carved up by Storm pair Cameron Smith and Cameron Munster. It was also a night to forget for Dragons playmaker Ben Hunt, a terrible sense of deja vu for Hunt, who fumbled a dropout, the New Zealand Warriors scoring on the next set. St George Illawarra going down 26 points to 18. And the Newcastle Knights beat the Bulldogs 22 points to 10. In today's game, the Roosters take on the Raiders and the North Queensland Cowboys take on South Sydney. And on the subject of the Rabbitohs, the Sunday Telegraph is reporting that the Brisbane Broncos are set to make a play for the Rabbitohs in-form 5-8 Cody Walker. Meantime, South's coach Wayne Bennett says unhappy Broncos centre James Roberts won't be joining him at Redfern anytime soon. In Super Rugby, a big blow to the New South Wales Waratahs finals hopes. The Tars going down 29-28 to the Lions in Joburg overnight. They're now 13th on the ladder and 7 points behind the Australian Conference leaders, the Melbourne Rebels. Australia's new director of rugby, Scott Johnson, is reportedly moving to ease any tensions among the Wallabies Polynesian players. There are concerns that the Israel Folau controversy could cause a split in Australia's World Cup squad. To the AFL, and a remarkable final second victory for Melbourne over the Gold Coast. The Suns looked home when Nick Holman kicked a major with 50 seconds left on the clock, but the D's responded with an equalising goal and then a behind for an amazing 1-point win. Yesterday's other winners, the Bulldogs, Collingwood, West Coast and the Adelaide Crows. To racing, and a big upset in the Doomben 10,000 with Kiwi long shot the Bostonian getting the money. Osborne Bulls with a remarkable fifth consecutive second place in a Group 1 race. Trainer James Cummings says that elusive Group 1 win will eventually happen. Meantime, trainer Anthony Cummings says Libertini is a potential Group 1 winner after romping home in the Woodland Stakes at Scone yesterday. In the $300,000 Inglis Guineas, Tommy Berry rode from the front as the team Hawks trained Wild Planet held out Military Zone. Formula One leader Valtteri Bottas has pole for the Spanish Grand Prix, his Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton second on the grid. A major upset at the Madrid Open tennis. Rafael Nadal beaten in the semi-final by young gun Stefanos Tsitsipas. The 20-year-old will take on world number one Novak Djokovic in the decider after Djokovic beat Dominic Thiem in straight sets. Meantime, Dutchwoman Kiki Bertens has beaten Simona Halep 6-4, 6-4 in the women's final. Bertens didn't drop a set all tournament. Former Socceroos skipper Mile Jedinak is a step closer to an English Premier League return after his Aston Villa side beat West Bromwich Albion 2-1 in the first leg of their English Championship playoff semi-final. In the other semi, Leeds United has beaten Derby County 1-0. And Sydney FC is at full strength for tonight's A-League semi-final against the Melbourne Victory at Jubilee Stadium. The Winnets take on Perth Glory in the final, and boys, get set for another classic, Big Blue.
Ooh. Yeah, let's hope we do get it, because the footy, as we said, across continents, has been spectacular. Thank you, Leanne.
Thanks, Leanne.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Righto, get it out of the way. Moss is on the phone. Apparently Liverpool played during the course of the week. Is that right?
Good morning, Phil Moss.
Good morning, Dave Stanley. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, mate. Jimmy is absolutely filthy.
Is Jimmy Smith in there this morning?
He's filthy.
What's Jimmy filthy about?
Well, no, I'm not filthy.
He hates Liverpool having success, and he's Manchester United going like bastards.
Yeah, well, some would say that you need humility in this world, Dave Stanley. You've got plenty of it, but
fair enough.
In that department sometimes. But it's good to see him so tribal about the team that he supports.
Very much so. You must still be on cloud nine. I mean, that performance when we spoke to. I know that we spoke to yourself and Robbie Slater on the weekday version of the Big Sports Breakfast, and Robbie had suggested it was their greatest win ever, Liverpool.
Yeah, look, I couldn't argue that, but let's just put Liverpool aside for 1 second and just talk about the week that was in football, both in Europe and in the A-League on Friday night with Perth Glory, and I don't remember a week like it in the World Game. It was just remarkable, the results, the football, the quality, the roller coaster of emotions in all the games. I'm talking about Champions League, Europa League, and A-League. It was just incredible, and if you didn't strap yourself in, you'd end up you'd end up in a world of pain, because it was just a remarkable week. But Liverpool to overturn 3-0 aggregate deficit against a team like Barcelona, the way they did, and we did talk, guys, about some magical nights at Anfield that have gone before last week, but really it was pipe dream stuff that we were hoping for, but they delivered, and how, and who would have picked the Rigi and Wijnaldum to be the heroes on the night, mm-hmm. With a couple of goals each, and just the way Liverpool, that energy and what they put into that performance as a team just shows that despite the presence of Lionel Messi, who is just the best footballer I think the world's ever seen, they still came away with a magnificent win and another final spot.
The importance of the game may not have been there, but I tell you what, the game on Friday night, over in Perth, was as good as you'll get from an A-League point of view. They're going to host the grand final of Perth Glory. Well, depending on who wins today, I think Perth Glory will be favourites to win that. Yep. That is absolutely a huge result in the history of that franchise, Mossy.
It certainly is, Jimmy. It was a remarkable game. It's not very often, having been a coach in the A-League, that I find myself sitting on the couch yelling at the TV screen over an A-League game because you stay impartial. But it was, again, the rollercoaster of emotions that Marco Kurtz and Tony Popovich and their players would have felt in that game. I mean, Perth were hosting the grand final. I think it was a collective 4 or 5 times before they actually nailed the result. And then Adelaide were in control of the game at certain points. You know, if not on the scoreboard, because they levelled it with the last kick of the game to send it into extra time. And then that penalty shootout, Liam Reddy and Paul Izzo.
Wow.
It was just incredible. It really was. You couldn't script it. But you do feel that justice was done off the back of Perth's season. And that is the tricky part about our system, is if you finish first or second, you get the week off, first week of the finals off. It sometimes is difficult to get going in that first final game, and obviously a little bit of rust from losing your momentum, and also the nerves. That in some ways, that first finals game is trickier to negotiate than the grand final itself, because of the way it all comes about. So credit to Perth Glory, credit to Tony Popovich. They will host the grand final. It'll be on the Sunday next weekend, because we've got the federal election on the Saturday.
Right.
But Perth certainly put themselves in the box seat to lift the toilet seat.
Where will that be? just before I ask about today's match, will that, it won't be at Optus, will it?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Oh, it is at Optus?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I believe it's at Optus.
So yeah. How big is, how many, what's the capacity of Optus?
62,
again?
Isn't
62,
it?
62, and I know that Allianz, when, I'm just wondering if they could break a record, if they could break a grand final, because I know those Raw games were about 52,000, 53,000. So
very good point.
It could be a record for the A-League.
Yeah.
I hope the fans of Perth come out, Mossy.
Yeah, it could well be. And there's, you know, a precedent set, obviously, as you just alluded to. I know the grand final at Suncorp against Brisbane in 2011 with the Mariners, we had, I think, just over 51,000, I think.
Yep.
It was. So, yeah, look, it could well be broken. And I think Perth have now switched on as a state, WA as a state has switched on to this football team. And you know, the chance to be part of history, because they've won their first piece of silverware in the A-League era with the Premier's plate. But this is the one they really want. And Tony Say's the owner. You have to put your hat off to him for the investment he's made over many, many years and the shrewd investment in getting Tony Popovich across.
All right, well, what about today? Sydney FC v Melbourne Victory. And I've been saying this all week. They don't like each other, do they? There's a lot of feeling between these two teams.
Do you know what, Dave? All week I've had this feeling, because that semi-final last season was my last involvement in the A-League. And Terry Antonis ripped our hearts out with that memorable goal in extra time with another seesawing game. And it's evoked emotions in me this week. And I was just an assistant coach for Sydney FC at the time. So you can imagine Stevie Corica and the, you know, inside the dressing room at Sydney, that, you know, those memories, that was a bitter, bitter way for our season to end. And you can just imagine what's going on behind the scenes going into this game. And Kevin Muscat will be doing the same things behind the scenes, but obviously they go in with the confidence knowing that they won it last year. So it's going to be a very interesting game. Big Blues throw things up that you just don't expect. So it should be an absolute cracker. I'm going to go with Sydney FC just home ground advantage. They've had the extra day recovery from the Asian trip during the week, although Kevin Muscat didn't take many of his top line players.
Yep.
But I just think at home, and Sydney have been very good at Jubilee Oval this season, so I think they may just get it in a tight one.
All right. Okay, Sydney FC, $2.30 there. And just quickly before you let you go, Eugene Galekovic, who's a guy, I haven't followed his career very closely, but I tell you what, you have great respect for the way he plays. It's decided to call it quits, Mossy.
Absolute gentleman, Jimmy.
Right.
Eugene Galekovic, he's been a pillar of strength for the clubs that he's played for, obviously renowned probably mainly for lifting the trophy for Adelaide as captain a few years ago back at Adelaide Oval on a remarkable grand final day. And, true gentleman, great ambassador, and above all, a great person, fantastic goalkeeper.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, we wish him all the best in life beyond football. Well done, Mossy. You didn't gloat too much, which is refreshing because I guess Ray's not here, another Liverpool supporter, so...
I have to tell you, Jimmy, I was at my brother's wedding yesterday, and a couple of avid listeners, Luke and Sal from Colorado Plateau, their whole family listened to you every single Sunday morning. Yeah. So I promised them a shout out. So there it is, Luke and Sal.
Did you apologise for them? Gee, waking up with Jimmy Smith every Sunday. There's got to be better things you can do, surely. No, I'm jigging.
Yeah, no.
Actually, it's getting a bit violent. I'm going to slide over here a little bit.
Well done, Johnny, too, batting overs considerably there.
Don Bradman. You me.
Absolutely. Good on you, Mossy. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Phil.
Phil Moss there with all the latest in the world of football. We're going to take a break here. After the break, we'll speak to Dean Ritchie. We're also going to give our third question for the China Doll quiz. Where did Kevin Junee attend primary school? Where did Kevin Junee attend primary school? He told us in our chat a little bit earlier. Call now for your $150 voucher, courtesy of China. We've got to get all three questions right. Yes, David?
How good was it just to hear him talk about they used to play in the alleyway, you know, the league? And
yes.
I know that that stuff still happens, you know, you see the kids out playing the cricket and that, but...
Not much, mate.
No, I know.
Not much.
Well, I wasn't trying to be as pessimistic as you have been. I was going, you know, you still see it sometimes these days, and you're like, nah, don't. But it is. It's just a different world, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, and it's for the worse. I've got no doubt it's for the worse. Get them off the PlayStation. Get them off the apps. Get them out in the streets playing cricket.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do. Thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges, or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
Kevin Tari dashes away in the round McGinnis.
Introducing the best miler of his generation, Kevin Tari, a strikingly handsome son of Lonro and record-breaking Group 1 Randwick Guineas winner. His victory is rated by Timeform as the best ever in the race's history, beating fellow Group 1 winners Trapeze Artist, Ace High and Argento. Kevin Tari, now standing at Dali for $33,000, including GST. Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
If I told you you could be part of a champion pedigree racehorse trained by Robert Heathcote or Chris Muntz, if I told you Schnitzel and Written Tycoon were the size, if I told you you could be part of Magic Millions Day on track, owner side, and you only needed $176.15 per month, would you stop dreaming and do it? Life's better with a racehorse. Be part of it with My Runners at mirunners.com.
Force of Game 7, which will be Sunday in Toronto. Our friends at TNT will have that. Here's Butler. Out of you. And
on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Dean Bulldog, Richie, very shortly. And no more callers on the quiz, the China Doll quiz. The $150 voucher has been won. It's gone. Not by David from Bronte.
I wish it was.
Yeah, no. It's Shane from Yaguna. Good on you, Shane. You've won. So the answers to the questions are... Oh, by the way, someone said it on SMS, Tom, we didn't say where Israel Folau was born. Israel was born in Australia. But the China Doll quiz questions, what weight does Adam Hieronymus usually ride at in the summer? The answer there is 54 kilos. And he told us that during the course of his interview. Name one of Shani Berry's donkeys... Davey, how would you go
was
on that?
Was it Pikachu? Not Pikachu.
not Pikachu.
Pinocchio. Pinocchio and Eeyore.
No, Pinocchio is what Tommy said. That was wrong.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes.
So, Eeyore or Poncho. Poncho.
Eeyore or Poncho. Kevin Junior attended primary school. Paddington.
Yeah.
Paddington Primary School. So, there you go. Shane from Yaguna, $150 voucher coming your way. That's going on a bit of a hiatus over the course of the winter carnival. We'll be looking to bring that back in the spring. So that's the last of your China Doll $150 vouchers that you can win. I'm telling you, a bloke who I reckon would shape up pretty well at China Doll.
Oh.
In fact, I reckon he's been there. Might even have his own account. Yeah, just put it on the bill. Steve Anastasio from ChinaDoll.com.au is Dean Bulldog Richie. Hello, Dino.
Oh, I love China Doll, Jimmy.
How good is it?
Oh, mind you, I always stop for a Macca's on the way home. Just to ensure the tummy's full.
Hey, Dino, do we find you in the River City at the moment?
No, not this weekend, Jimmy. I'm up there for Origin, but I had a couple of commitments in Sydney this weekend, so I have obviously been glued to the television set watching most of the games. I think, personally, it's been a wonderful success so far. I'm not there, so I can't give you a feel of the town, but certainly... speaking to people up there, fellow journos, they've said it's a wonderful atmosphere, a wonderful environment. Footy's been good.
Yes.
Crowds have been good. And I can tell you, guys, that there are discussions, albeit very, very preliminary, that maybe down the track they might even consider taking this overseas. I'm hearing New Zealand.
Yep.
Or at a push, you know, Asia or America, that would be a long way off, you would imagine. But I think the success that happened this weekend is buoyant, and they are going to start to think big picture here.
I tell you who would love it. Japanese. I reckon Tokyo, with the infrastructure they've got as well.
Love their rugby league over there.
And, well, I'm just trying to get Bulldog a trip here.
Well, hang on, he didn't go to Brisbane.
Stick with me, Bulldog. I want to ask you about Origin, mate. Look, it's obviously going to start being the main topic for discussion, but just on what we've seen, how can Freddie pick these blokes from Penrith?
Yeah, well, you'd think Maloney is just about gone. still get a hunch, though, guys, that they will stick with Nathan Cleary. As I've said on this show before, they've invested in him. But certainly on form, you wouldn't pick them. I guess the key question here, though, guys, is the centre position, what he will do. Jimmy Roberts is not even playing NRL at the moment, so it would be very difficult to pick him at the moment. No Joey Leilua, no Jack Bird. So that leaves us with a dilemma. Does he stick with Roberts? Or the other contenders, in my eyes, would be Josh Morris, who is getting toward the end of his career, but we know what we would get out of Josh at Origin level.
He played well on Friday night.
He did, yeah, he did, Jimmy. There's Josh Dugan, Jesse Ramien, Jack Whiten, although his move to 5'8 this year would probably preclude him from being considered a centre. Maybe a Clint Gutherson. So, look, there's not a whole lot of options there for Freddie in terms of form and experience, other than maybe Josh Morris, which some would be surprised at. But as you say, guys, he's in good form. He's solid. He's great defensively. And you know exactly what you're going to get out of him at Origin level. He wouldn't be overawed.
Bulldog, wasn't the whole... I mean, we obviously had Laurie Daly coaching the team. And there was that big question mark. Oh, well, he's picking players that aren't in form. And then Brad comes in. Players that are in form, play for New South Wales last year, we do well. I thought that was the new philosophy. We were getting away from that, oh, well, we're going to pick him because we've invested him in and we know he's good, but he's not in form at the moment, and we're going to pick players in form.
Well, Dave, Freddie had a dream run last year in that he had no baggage. He had no attraction to loyalty because he hadn't coached at that level previously. Now, of course, Freddie's got the dilemma that so many coaches previously have had, where we try to find that nice middle ground where, yes, you are loyal, and yes, you still pick on form.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult one to juggle. You know, look, those blokes went out there last year, those 17 blokes, and busted their backsides for Freddie, and there's no doubt he will feel some form of loyalty toward them. But look, it's a real juggling act, Dave. I don't think we can quantify it in one sentence.
No.
But look, it really will test Freddie up this year to see what he does. I mean, you know, we win and we make changes, Queensland are straight on our back saying, oh, you know, here you go again, making changes to a winning side. So, look, you know, he'll stick solid to many of them, but you know, there's just some blokes there on form that you just simply can't pick.
Whoever fills that number seven jersey, because I don't think there's any doubt that Nathan Cleary is not playing as well as some of the other candidates, but incumbency is its own thing. And like Dino's alluded to, you do have a sense of loyalty to those players who've gone before. Just
there's also that wing spot too, Jimmy. I mean, obviously Tommy Trbojevic isn't there. You'd think that Blake Ferguson would be a favourite, but there's Nick Kotrick. You know, the young Campbell Graham would be considered. Josh Mansour, but maybe even a guy like Daniel Tupou. His form has been brilliant this year.
Yes.
He's played at Origin level before.
Yes.
So a bit like Josh Morris, some may suggest you're sort of going back in time, but if he's done the job and he's in form, why not?
He's in his prime, Daniel Tupou, in his prime. Speaking of guys in his prime, Latrell Mitchell, what are you hearing around that? I'm hearing that the South Sydney Rabbitohs are doing their best to get involved there. And from what I understand, Greg Inglis has been making contact with Latrell Mitchell repeatedly, talking about the benefits of the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that's interesting. You speak to South, Jimmy, and they will deny it cold. They can't officially approach him till November the 1st anyway, so any official approaches would be deemed illegal by the NRL. I can tell you that Latrell is unsettled. Not so much unsettled at the Roosters. He loves the Roosters, but he doesn't like the limelight, the spotlight. And he's also got this situation with his manager, which is Steve Deacon. But
yes,
I think you'll find there will be a split there, albeit it hasn't officially happened yet. So there's about four or five managers queuing up to sign Latrell. So that is playing on his mind as well. Clearly, based on what we saw last week, not affecting his football too much, given we saw a 10 out of 10 performance, but certainly off the field, he's just a bit unsettled. But he's got a long way to go still. Look, he's not off contract till the end of next year, but come November the 1st, you'd think that a lot of clubs will queue up for him. The question is, though, how much would you pay for a centre? Would he be a $1 million a year centre that you could build your club around?
In my mind, he is. In my mind, you could pay him $1 million. The interesting part about that, Dino, I don't know whether you've heard anything around this, what's Cooper Cronk going to do?
no decision yet, Jimmy. I think he is more than likely going to head into retirement, but as Cooper did last year, he keeps things pretty close to his chest. We knew that in grand final week. But look, his form's good. You know, he's still contributing heavily to what the Roosters are doing.
Yeah.
So, but it's a difficult one because they need to know about Cronk before they can throw some big money at Latrell. Latrell's contract at the moment is incrementally increasing, but the actual deal is on, you know, this year isn't huge, considering what he could be getting on the open market.
He's
worth it, though, with the goal kicking. And you have to think, too, with Latrell and with Cooper. Would Cooper go into a coaching role? I know he's got the media aspirations with Fox and whatnot, but, I mean, you have a look at that grand final in recent times. He's been on the bench with the headgear on. Headset, yeah. He could go into a coaching role easy.
I think quite comfortably. Hey, do you know any changes for today?
Yeah, not a whole lot on the sheet, Jimmy, today. Roosters Raiders, that's the 2 o'clock game in Brisbane. No late changes for the Roosters. Lachlan Lamb, Josh Cullen, they were cut from that 21-man squad yesterday afternoon. No Leilua for the Raiders. John Bateman, ice socket, also out for 6 to 8 weeks. Young Hudson Young will be the replacement there for Canberra.
Yes.
And another big one up there this afternoon, 4 o'clock, it's South Sydney versus the Cowboys. The Bunnies should be 1 through 17. The last 5 weeks, Wayne Bennett has swapped Junior Totola and George Burgess before kickoff. George, you would imagine, would start from the bench yet again this afternoon. Cohen Hess in to replace Josh Maguire for the Cowboys. And Kyle Felt, too, had a bad groin injury. He's back for this game. That's his first starting match for this season.
Good on you, mate. We'll speak again next week, Dino.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, guys. Have a great
Bulldog.
Day.
There he is, Dean Bulldog, Richard, with all the latest in the world of footy. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers on the line. They're wanting to have their say. And then, by the way, we're going to get you to release your tip of the day.
Oh, right.
Okay, so just give me your...
Stand by for that, everyone. Jeez.
Hang on. You've just had it announced a little bit earlier that you're back in form. You've climbed off the canvas like our talk topic today.
Okay, I'll find something.
And that was from a listener.
I'll find something, don't worry.
I'll find something, on Mother's Day. That'd be good. John's on the line. G'day, John.
G'day, fellas, from the sunny Wingham.
Wingham? How are they going with that statue of Corey Brown?
You're still going on about that statue, Jimmy.
I'd like to see it. That'd be great.
I'm sure there's something in the RSL club for him, mate. Hey, he's a legend around here, mate. Actually, speaking of jockeys and winners, I was a happy little fellow. I backed Gay Waterhouse's winner at Scone yesterday, the mayor. Got 18-1 on it.
What was the name of that horse, Dave?
Oh, I can't think of the name.
Hang on. John, what was the name of it?
No, Dave's got it.
Conta Patrio.
That's it. Too early in the morning to pronounce it, fella.
What do you got for our talk topic, John?
Off the canvas, has there been anything bigger than Muhammad Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle?
Oh, the rope-a-dope.
Yep. And not just that. I mean, correct me if I'm... memory serves me right. He was actually laid out by Joe Frazier not long before that. And no one gave him a snowball chance in hell against George Foreman.
No one gave him a chance. That's quite right. Because I think you're right. Frazier had beaten Ali, and then Foreman had destroyed Frazier.
Yep, exactly.
And after the first round, Muhammad changed completely his tactics for the fight.
Yep.
And let Foreman hit him. Great nomination, John. Great nomination, mate. Thank you for the call. 1353-53, the open line number. We better get to Scotty Foster very quickly now. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, we're well. We better jump into this, mate. We're short on time here. What do you got for the listeners today? No doubt we'll sell it.
Yeah, boys, well, it's going to be a Mother's Day special, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We've got a great-looking 2008 Holden VE Commodore Sport Wagon on special. It's white in colour and meticulously maintained. It has logbooks with complete service history, and it's in great condition. It comes with 16-inch alloy wheels, air conditioning, power steering, ABS brakes, airbags, traction control, cruise control, stability control, power windows, Bluetooth, roof racks, and a tow pack. It's one of the most popular family-sized vehicles on the market. I have priced it for the listeners at just $5,990. This is cheap for a car of this quality, and you can see this vehicle on our website, www.fosterscalitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963750024. and be quick, because cars like this do not last very long at all.
Rumours are you can get finance available for the listeners as well, and you better tell us about Ringrose Park hosting footy again today.
Yeah, we do have our great finance packages available, so you can give us a call on 96375024 and we'll sort out all your finance needs. But don't forget, it's also Steve Foster and Sons, they offer trucks now as well.
Yes.
I've gone into partnership with a good truck wholesalers, and Nick Appleby there, who's back from overseas. He's been in Las Vegas, so he's back ready to take any...